The Lord, open your Bibles to the book of Romans now, chapter 10. So go to Romans chapter 10. I know that most of the time in revival meetings, I know after I got saved, and I know this is a mission conference, but man, sometimes Friday nights seem to be the pinnacle of the meeting. I mean, everybody's excited about the Friday night of the meeting. So if you're not, get there, okay? Get excited about it. This is Friday night. And some of you already get excited because you're getting a break tomorrow night, okay? You don't even have to come to church tomorrow night. You already get excited. But I was thinking just the night before the preaching, maybe something that the Lord let me memorize a long time ago. I figured I'd tell it tonight, just the way of lightheartedness, and then we'll get into the message. I'm mindful of a story I heard one time about a fellow named Brother Roosevelt. Brother Roosevelt wanted to be ordained to be a preacher. And though he knew the Bible, he just had it all messed up. But he came before the Presbyterian and wanted to be ordained a preacher. And they said, Brother Roosevelt, do you believe the Bible? He said, sure, I believe the Bible. They said, well, Brother Roosevelt, how much of the Bible do you believe? He said, I believe it all the way from generations to revolutions. And they said, well, praise the Lord. They said, Brother Roosevelt, what's your favorite story in the Bible? He said, it's the story of the Good Samaritan. They said, Brother Roosevelt, why don't you tell us that story so that we know that you know that story? He said, sure, there's a man that went up from Jericho unto Jerusalem, and he fell amongst the thorns. And he said, they sprang up and choked him 1,000-fold. And old Jehu come riding by on a chariot and picked him up, and he fell out amongst the stony ground. And he looked above his head, and there was a cloud about the size of a mustard seed. And it rained for 40 days and it rained for 40 nights. So he ran inside the cave, and the quail came and fed him manna in the morning, and they fed him raven in the afternoon. And the next day he walked out, and there was a river so great no man could cross that river. So he passed down on the other side, and he came to the sycamore tree. And he looked up, and there was Jezebel sitting in the sycamore tree. And he said to the old birds, chunk the gal down. He said they chunked her down 70 times 7. And the fragments that remained were 12 basketfuls, not including the men, women, and children. And the question I have today for the presbytery is, I just want to know whose wife is she going to be on the day of judgment? That's all I want to know. Needless to say, they probably did ordain him if it was the average Baptist church of our day. How many times you talk to people that said something was in the Bible? Boy, they sure had it messed up. Amen. I hope none of you said amen after that message, okay? You need to get straightened out. Take your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 10. Should be a very familiar text of Scripture to you tonight. And I pray that the Lord help me get the burden that's off my heart conveyed to you tonight. Romans chapter 10. I want to read you a very familiar text. We'll read it and then we'll pray. I'll just glean some thoughts out of it, give you some other things God has given me, and a few other portions of Scripture. Try to be done within about 25, 27 minutes or so. Look with me now, look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It works every time. Amen. That call is not just a call of saying, all right, Jesus, save me. It is a call that the gospel has done its work. God has brought you to repentance. You realize your only hope is Jesus Christ, and you call on his name. He will save you every time. If you didn't get saved, you didn't come the Bible way, okay? God always honors his promise. Here's the text I want to draw from. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not heard? How shall they believe in him in whom they have How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight to convey the thoughts of this message to the hearts of your people. We give you the glory in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it. Amen. I want to think about that thought there, without a preacher. Boy, where would we be without a preacher? See, you know what missions is, and you're sending missionaries to the field. You know what God's doing? God is raising up preachers across the land. Isn't it a horrible thought without a preacher? Where would you be without a preacher? Because God said, how shall they hear without a preacher? I see there's great value on the preacher. There's a great price on a preacher because God uses men. He raises up preachers. I began to think about this afternoon. I was counting my own church and men that preach in nursing homes, men that preach in the jails, men that preach in prisons and preach in the pulpit, and some that teach junior church. We have about 17 preachers inside our church. I say to God be the glory. I say to God be the glory. Bible preaching produces Bible preachers. Preaching produces preachers. And I'm telling you, there'll be no more missionaries if men don't surrender to preach. You know, when God sends missionaries, He's sending them not to just befriend the world. He's sending preachers to a lost and dying world. God is wanting to raise up preachers. You know what the Bible said? They should not hear without a preacher. Look at verse 15. And how should they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Some are going to reject it. But Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Sometime, you know what he said? We preach and it seems like nobody believes. Well, that's how it is on the mission field sometime. You read Ezekiel, who's believed our report? And God sends men to the field. And I think about this dear brother going to Puerto Rico. As when there are certain places you can go that are ripe. The fields are ripe in the harvest and you preach. And men have labored and their hearts are tender. And many souls get saved. But there's some fields out there you go to. Years and years and years of laboring and only one or two get saved. But listen to me. Jesus Christ passed by for the one. How about blind Bartimaeus? He passed by for one. How about the wild men of Gadara? He passed by for one. How about Zacchaeus and the sycamore tree? He passed by for one. Hallelujah. How about the Samaritan harlot at the well? He passed by for the one. How about the man that was laying at the pool of Bethesda, which is called the house of mercy, five porches, no man to care for him. Jesus Christ is in the business of passing by for one. I believe tonight, for God so loved the world. But my preacher said after I got saved, he said, scratch that out. Don't scratch it out, but you could put your name right there. For God so loved Stephen Williamson. I believe he died. If nobody else in the world, he had died for you. He loves your soul that much. Thank God he's the Savior of the world. But the Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Just a few things here. I'll kind of give you just a quick outline, preach the remainder of the burden on my heart. Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. Look at verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold. Now, I want to just draw a few thoughts out of here. I think about the value of a preacher. And God said, without a preacher, they cannot hear. See, tonight I wonder, I did this to my church, I wonder now, maybe God may not call you to the mission field, or God may not call you to be a pastor, but I believe if a man is really saved by the grace of God and born again studying his Bible, he ought to be able to get up and exhort the people of God, if need be. And I did to my church, I told him, I said, everybody, and I'm not going to do it tonight, but I said, everybody, 25 years and younger, maybe 12 to 25, stand up. And I had the youth, 25 to 12, stand up. And I just told him, I said, what if everybody older than you died tonight? Died on a Friday night, died tonight, and all that was left was the youth. I wonder if there'd be church Sunday morning. I wonder if there's somebody that'd say, you know, I can't play that well, but I've learned a little bit. I'll play the piano. Maybe somebody says, you know what, man, I don't know. I've been studying my Bible. I mean, God's been doing a great work in my heart. It saddens me the preacher's dead, and I don't know, but I'd be willing to stand in the pulpit and take up the business of preaching to God's people. I wonder if there'd be somebody that would lead the singing, or if there's somebody that would say, Lord, you still need missionaries. And there was somebody 30 years old fixing to go to the mission field, but oh God, if you'd send me, I'd surrender and I'd go. And listen to me tonight, I'm telling you, we need a youthful generation that has a heart for the things of God. My children sang tonight, you know, I love Jesus more than anything. I wonder how true that really is in my heart and your heart. See, tonight I wonder if those, and maybe churches represented here, if you were the youth, you've been in church your whole life, some of you, been in church 5 years, 7 years, you've been saved 5, 6, 7 years as a teenager, and maybe you're 25 or younger, and I wonder, where is the spirituality if the older crowd passed off the scene? Is there a young generation in love with God? Is there any young person, any young lady that will be holy, and a young man that will say, Lord, I just lay myself on the altar, whatever you lead me to do, I'll do. Lord, I just want to be used of you. See, tonight the Bible said the world cannot hear without a preacher. They cannot hear how beautiful are the feet of them. I see the value of the preacher. I see the voice of the preacher. Their voice was heard. Their word was heard unto the earth and the ends of the world. You see what else? I see the vision of preachers. God wants the message to get to the world. Isn't that what missions is about? Sending the voice to the world, to the earth, to the ends of the world. I see the voice of the preacher. I see the vision of the preacher. What is the vision of the preacher? Look in verse 1. Here should be the heartbeat of the preacher. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's what the heartbeat of God is, souls getting saved. Whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your coworker, whether you can have a part, that's what missions is about. Listen, I know you're doing your part here. I know you're witnessing. I know you're not. I wonder if the older crowd passed off the scene, would there be any more visitation program? Would there be any more Sunday school teachers? Listen to me, young people. God did not save you to sit on a church pew. God did not save you to be a sponge and just soak up preaching and spend the days of your youth and youthful lust and wasting it away and having a good time and just playing sports and just hanging out. God didn't save you for that. God wants to use you. Let Him use you. See, tonight I'm reminded that God saved me. My family got out of church. Give you a little bit of my testimony quickly. My family, I was in church about the time I was 6 years old. I barely remember going to church until I was about six. Something happened in the church, a split, and I know all the story. It doesn't even matter going to it now, but my family got out of church. My mom and dad got out of church. I maybe went to two church services from the time I was six, and they weren't even Bible-believing churches until the time I was 15, just a few months before I turned 16. Didn't own a Bible. Can't even remember ever reading the Bible. I loved the big family Bible because of the pictures that were in it. That's about it. That's my only interest in the Bible till time we got in church. God brought trouble. My dad was saved, not right with God. God chasing him brought trouble in our life. Began to lose everything. God used trouble to get our family's attention. My dad knew the only hope was getting to the house of God, getting his family back up under the preaching the Word of God and getting right with the Lord. So my dad went back to church, got right with God, began to love the Lord, read his Bible, come home, began to set his home and family in order. Thank God he did. And he looked at me. My mom didn't want to go to church, and I didn't want to go to church. I was 15 years old, getting ready to take on the world and living worldly, just all the desires of worldly young men. And my dad said to my mom, he said, you know what, I can't make you go to church. He said, but these kids are going, they don't have a choice. And I thought, man, dad's done, blew his lid. And so I said, all right, I'll go to church. Maybe there's girls there. I wasn't looking for God, I was looking for girls. Come on, gentlemen, you know the feeling. Maybe there's a girl. And if God don't get you to church, sometimes girls will. And God had different plans. I said, well, maybe there's a girl there. Any girl in her right mind that loves God wouldn't give me a second look before God saved me. Amen. After God saved me, praise the Lord, one did give me a second look. Amen. Right over there. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Sat up under, first time I showed up, I was sitting there and I thought, all right, well, I'll sit through church. And I'm telling you, the man of God preached and had a finger a mile long and could wrap around anybody's head and get in your face. He'd be in the pulpit and you'd think he was standing in front of you in between the pews. Conviction. Thank God for preachers. Amen. I say, thank God for preachers, amen. Love the Lord and love God, Spirit-filled, and preaches God's message. God uses men to spread and propagate the gospel. 3 months sitting up under preaching, struggling. I remember going home telling my dad, no, I'm not going to church anymore. He said, oh, really? Thank you for informing me on something that's not going to happen. He said, last time I checked, I paid the bills. I feed you everything. You'll be in church when I tell you to. And I said, oh, Dad, thank God for Dad that didn't let me stay out of church. He knew he had to keep me on. See, I had to hear the voice. Faith coming by hearing by the Word of God. The bird, hey, thank God for the voice of the preacher. Thank God for the word, the word of faith which is nigh thee, which we preach, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, the text said. And faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. Thank God for the Bible of the preacher. Thank God for his voice. Thank God for his voice. God saved me. 3 months after God saved me, God called me to preach. And when God called me to preach, I surrendered to preach. My pastor's preaching on God needing young men to stand in the gap. Out of the book of Ezekiel chapter 20, the Bible says, is there a man? God is looking for a man. Let me say something, gentlemen. God's still looking for men.
God is looking for a man that would make up the hedge. No, that means that's the thing of protection. There's a break in the hedge. Will somebody stand in the hedge? And there's a gap. Will somebody stand in the gap for the land? Stand in the place and stand for the voice of God and stand for the Lord. Can I say there's some empty spots in the hedge? There's some empty gaps that God's looking for a man to fill. That's why missionaries are going to the field. There's a hedge that needs to be made up. There's a gap. Listen, there sometimes in a local church can be hedges and gaps in certain areas of the ministry. God's looking for a man to rise up to be a blessing to the pastor, to help carry the load, to help fill the gap and make up the hedge. And I'm telling you, men, listen, God, I told you, a mission-minded church is full of spiritually minded men. We saw it in the book of Acts chapter 13, spiritually minded men. And see, I remember after God called me to preach that night, for me, and I know different men have testimonies, but the conviction that night my pastor preached, the conviction I was under about getting saved, the conviction of salvation, just overwhelming conviction till I surrendered to Jesus Christ, took him as my Savior. That night that God called me to preach in that church service, the conviction was ever so heavy about surrendering to the will of God to preach. I mean, I was trembling in my pew. I was resisting. I was fighting. The devil's telling me, no, don't submit. And the Spirit of God said, son, I want to use you. I said, Lord, but who am I? Look how young I am. And I hate, Lord, I cannot even stand in front of people. I've never even spoken in front of people. Let me tell you something, friend. God will use, the devil will use your fear to cripple you and hinder you from submitting to the will of God. He uses fear. Satan will use fear. I just don't know if I can do it. Hey, friend, God is your helper. You can. I just don't know if I can ever go to the mission field. If God calls you, God will strengthen you. God will enable you. You trust him. He told Moses, who made the mouth? Who made the ears? Who made the seeing eye? Friend, the one who created it can give you the ability. If he calls you, he's got a plan for you. If he calls you, he will enable you. Listen, God, I don't know what the will of God tonight. Maybe it's just a call going out. See, there's missionaries going to the field, but in the future, God's going to need more. There's preachers. There is a deficit. There's a deficit of preachers in our land. They're falling like flies. Satan is snaring them. And there are preachers rising up that are departing from the fundamentals of the faith. We need some that are going to rise up and stick to the stuff. Amen. Stick by the stuff. I surrendered to preaching that night. I went home and my pastor, I laid in the altar and I wept and I wept and I wept. And I said, okay, God, here I am. And I hadn't been saved but 3 months. And I got home. And as I got home, I got in my bedroom thinking about, boy, I tell you, the devil jumped on my back. And the devil said to me, man, you're just 15, fixing to be 16. I mean, you just turned 16. Who in the world's going to listen to you? You don't even know much of the Bible. I mean, you don't even like reading. You've never even spoken in front of anybody. I'm going to tell you what happened that moment. Fear began to strike my heart. I don't recommend this. I don't say take your Bible, just flip it open anywhere. And, you know, if you want to do your Bible reading, you know, you don't treat it like an eight ball. You shake it and see what comes up. You know, you don't. I did that one time. I said, all right, Lord, I need a word from you. And I opened the Bible and I put my finger down and it said, strong drinker for them that perish. And I said, I don't need none of that. So it's not a good way to study your Bible, okay? But I opened my, God, the Holy Ghost let me open my Bible to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. When my Bible fell open, I hadn't even read the book of Jeremiah at that time. Just been saved for 3 months. My pastor told me to stay in Paul's writings. So I was in Paul's writings, reading the book of John and Romans and the books of Paul's writings. And I opened my Bible, and I'm going to tell you, it fell open. I began reading verse 1. I got Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, and the Bible said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. I mean, tears running down my eyes, saying, oh God, did I really hear your voice? And all these fears are striking my heart. And I'm telling you, God used the words of Jeremiah to strengthen my heart that night. On my knees, sitting on my bed, tears running down my face, and the Holy Ghost said to me, I called you, son. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I ordained thee to preach the gospel. So I began to read, and the next verse said, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Listen to me, young people, that was my heart. I said, I can't do this. Lord, I surrendered, and just in the moment under conviction, I surrendered. And I'm thinking, man, can I do this? Look how young I am. And Jeremiah said the same thing. Lord, I can't speak. I'm just a child.
Here's what the Lord said. But the Lord said unto him, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak.
And then I thought, man, I can't. I mean, see, I was a type, I played sports. I loved it, sports. But you put me in a classroom setting to stand up in front of the class and read something in front of the class, man, it scared me to death. It just did. And I got to thinking, man, I just told the Lord I'd stand up in front of all kind of people. Scared me to death. And then I was fearful, but you know what the Lord said? Be not afraid of their faces. The Lord said, that's what he said. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Listen, friend, if God doesn't touch your mouth, there'll no business take place. There'll nothing. I'm telling you, when you'll surrender, if it's God's will in your life, God will touch your mouth. God will touch your mouth. And so he said, listen, the Lord touched his mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. You see what happens when God calls you to preach? Listen to me tonight, to all the missionaries going to the field. It's labor. It is a lot of labor. See, it's kind of like, it's not like the little boy. The little boy, so I just told my church this joke the other night. Little boy sitting in church talking all the time, talking, hated church. Man, he hated it. And his mama always said, be quiet, be always getting on to him. And he's like, I don't even want to be here. And so the altar call was given, you know, months of his mama wrestling with him and him talking, chattering in church. He got up, went to the altar, and he come back, and his mom said, you went to the altar? He said, yep. I said, the Lord was dealing with my heart. She said, what about? He said, well, I just figured that I just went ahead and surrendered to preach. She said, you surrendered to preach? He said, well, if I'm going to be here all the time, I might as well be the one doing all the talking. That's probably not a good way to find your calling, okay? If you're the one just want to do all the talking, I'm sure God probably didn't call you that way. But I know tonight God is still looking for men. It may not be the mission field. Listen to me. I know this is a missions conference, but I'm going to tell you why. Who God sends to the field, we said it the other night, those that have been faithfully serving in their church. God does not take a man from a pew doing nothing and send him to a foreign field. He's behind his pastor and he's working in the ministry and he's loving the Lord. He is doing whatever the pastor needs, being a blessing to the church. And then God takes a man who's laboring, and then because he's been faithful, he'll send him because he has been faithful and proved himself faithful. See, tonight I don't know in the future what's going to happen. Maybe God will raise somebody up. You know, who knows? By the grace of God, the Lord leaves Brother Rich here till he grows old and preaches here for many, many years. And you know, there may be a 10-year-old young man, 12, 14, I don't know. You realize when I was 6, when I walked in the door at 15 years old of my church, when I walked in the doors, lost, worldly, jeans with holes in them, necklace around my neck, my shirt unbuttoned, hanging out, bracelets on, I mean, hair down, not real long hair, my dad would have killed me. But I'm going to tell you what happened in the middle of all that. Nose starting to bleed a little bit. When that took place, I walked in, there had not been one person, not one in my church, that would have ever said, that's going to be a preacher. Never thought that had been that. If somebody would have said, that's going to be your next pastor in years to come, people say, you're crazy. I mean, you're out of your mind if you think he's going to be the next pastor. Him, the next pastor of this church. I'm telling you, friend, God would do amazing things with your life if you'll just surrender to his will. No telling what God would do with you. No telling. After God saved me at the age of 15 years old, just turned 16, 21, went to the mission field, spent 4.5, 5 years on the mission field, come home off the mission field, 4.5 years, the associate pastor of the church, and 13 years now, God let me pastor the church that I got saved in at the age of 15 years old. You know what God's looking for? I don't know how the capacity God will use you, but God is not looking for just a church full of people that would just sit on a pew and be faithful to church. We need people that will give and everything. I mean, give and labor. But I'm telling you, the church needs to be full of laborers. Maybe you're here and you're laboring in the ministry. Thank God for you. But I'm telling you, there's probably some people in here that could do more than what you're doing for the church. God wants to use you, and quit occupying so much of your time just letting everybody else take care of the load.
let God use you. I know that God, according to the scripture here, the preacher, he had a vision. You know, the preacher had boldness. I'm going to give you a count of the story real quick. Preacher had, I think about Philip. Remember Philip was preaching, went down to Samaria to preach? As he went down to Samaria to preach, got about 5 minutes, he went down to Samaria to preach. When he got there, they believed the word of God. Do you realize that before that, the Lord Jesus, the Samaritan harlot, went back to Samaria, said, come see a man. A lot of people believed. There was some seed sown there and some believers. Somebody had done a work and a labor already. He comes in behind it later, preaching the gospel. People get saved. The whole city rejoices. He's healing the sick, doing great miracles and wonders there. Great revival. The church at Jerusalem sends Peter and John down there. They come down there as the apostles lays hands on them. They receive the Holy Ghost. A man named Simon, who is a sorcerer. You know what the missionary faces? You know what Simon was? He betrayed himself to be a great one. He betrayed himself to be the great power of God. People were believing in God, but false religion and a false God, using God's name, but deceived in religious blindness. And Philip came through and everything changed under his preaching. People got, men and women got saved. They got baptized. Peter and John come down there. Simon also got saved and got baptized. But he watched when the apostles laid hands on the people. They received the Holy Ghost. He said, let me buy this. Let me take my money. Let me buy this gift. And Peter looked at him with boldness and said, listen, your money perish with you. You're in bitterness and the gall of iniquity. He pronounced judgment on him. And old Simon said, oh, please pray for me that none of these things happen to me. Listen to me. God's looking for men that will have some boldness. There's enough coward preachers. You want to know why our nation and mission fields are being destroyed? Because preachers are getting up and doing exactly like the book of Isaiah, the people said, prophesy unto us smooth things. He said to the seer, don't see. To the prophet, don't prophesy. Hey, depart from the ways of the Lord. Just say smooth things to us. Just tell us what we want to hear. It's a sign of the last days. And God needs men that stand up with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of love and the Spirit of power. God has touched your mouth and not afraid of the people and not worried about the Word of God offending them. And just in boldness say, thus saith the Lord. And don't worry about the results. Listen, God's power on a man is not determined by how the pew reacts. If that's the case, Noah was a failure. Jeremiah was a failure. Ezekiel was a failure. Isaiah was a failure. See, the power of God, and listen, missionaries going to the field and they send back and maybe just a very few souls saved, it does not mean that the power of God's not on the man. Does not mean God's hand's not on his ministry. Oh, he may be going to a hard field. Ezekiel was sent to a hard people. But thank God for the one that will get in. See, the Lord will send a missionary to the field just to get one. And you know what happened? Philip is there. After that, God sent him down and he goes down back to there. He finds, you know what he finds? He finds the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember the story? The Ethiopian eunuch with the word of God, the Old Testament, I believe it happened. Here she is, the Queen Candace, and he's down there. He has great authority. He's a eunuch. He's over all of her treasures. And he comes there to worship. He's got the Old Testament. He's reading the book of Isaiah in his chariot. And the Lord said to Philip, draw nigh to him. You know what the Bible says? Philip ran there. I see the urgency of getting the gospel out. Philip didn't say, okay, well, I'll stroll over and see if it don't offend him. The Bible says Philip ran. Read it. Acts chapter 8, Philip ran there. When he did, Philip said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He was reading Isaiah 53. You're talking about God directing a man that wants to know the truth, don't know the truth. He's up there worshiping with the Jews and he doesn't even know about Christ. And here he is reading Isaiah 53. I mean, God still directs sinners if they have a desire for the truth. Thank God there's still people who want truth. You know what Philip said? Do you understand what you read? He said, how can I? Except some man teach me, some man guide me, some man show me. And he asked Philip to come up into the chariot. The Bible says he got up in the chariot and preached unto him Jesus. Preached. Philip was the evangelist. And you know the story, he got saved. They're riding along, they're going, and as they're traveling, going along, the eunuch looked and he said, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, man, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all your heart? He said, oh, I believe. You realize what happened? The man was believing. Everything was being preached. There wasn't no altar call. They didn't have to have five stanzas of just as I am. The preacher didn't have to say, come on now, come on before you go to hell. Coming, trying to draw people and make them come. He's just simply preaching the gospel, and the Ethiopian's eunuch's heart was so open that everything that was preached is just believing it. And the man got saved sitting in a chariot, and Philip didn't even know he was saved yet. And he said, if you believe, man, there's water. They both got out of the chariot, commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water. Philip didn't stand on the bank and sprinkle him, okay? They went in the water. Baptism by submersion. Now, here's how every missionary would love to travel. When he come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. Just, boy, wouldn't it be nice to travel like that? And then Philip was found later preaching in all the villages, going everywhere he could preaching the gospel. You know what God found in a man named Philip? He found a man. Went on a long journey to reach one man in the area. That one man went back to Ethiopia and carried the Lord Jesus Christ back with him. God didn't send Philip to Ethiopia. He sent him there to the eunuch. He's coming to worship in Jerusalem. Gets the gospel and goes back and carries the gospel to Ethiopia. Now, how God reaches the world? By you reaching one, and them reaching one, and them reaching one. And God uses preachers. They will not hear without a preacher.